I'll come right in.
Rock, flag, and eagle!
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Rattlesnake, host of the Chairgating Podcast. I am here with Garage Guy Chase. Welcome back, Chase.
It's good to be back, Rattlesnake. I've been sleep deprived for no reason. I've been lost in my brain with boredom and just really just living on the internet. So my eyes hurt.
But oh, yeah.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think everybody's been glued to one screen or the other, or multiple at the same time, sort of menage a trois type thing going on. Obviously, based on the intro, I figured we could talk a little bit about Tiger King. You finished it?
Dude, okay. So, once again, thanks for having me here, by the way. Glad to be back. Glad to be back on Chairgating. Hope all you Chairgators are doing fine and dandy. Pull up your chair. It's going to be fun. Yeah, so the hype has been Tiger King everywhere. Around the entire globe. Like, I woke up one morning and I saw a shitload of these random memes of this dude. Yep. That was like incredible. Weird looking, but yep, also great. It was just this redneck with a fucking tiger, and I'm like okay, what is this? And I start researching it, and I see shit about this bitch, Carol Baskin. And I'm like, this is hilarious. And then I finally find out that, oh, it's a docuseries on Netflix. So I'm like, I have to watch this now. Start watching it.
By the way, is docuseries, is that a term people use? Or did you just like come up with that?
That's a thing. I've heard it
okay.
before.
Okay. I like that term a lot. I've never used it.
I do too. I like it. And you know what? But because you've never heard it, I've just made that up.
Right. Yeah. So it sounds like you just made that up. And
I did.
Now, if I start using it and people ask me, I'll be like, oh, Garage Guy Chase made that up.
No, you just tell them you made it up and just pass it on. And then tell whoever you tell that to, then tell them that they made it up until eventually Merriam-Webster comes after all of us. And then she'll never know who to get or find. You know what I mean?
She'll call Carol.
Oh, shit. That wouldn't be good.
Take us all out.
But yeah, dude, I've watched it. I finished it in about 2 days. That's literally like I've never watched a Netflix like series that quick. But I finished it in 2 days and I was so taken by it that like I was ready to talk about it. Drew on the Garage Guys Fantasy Sports Podcast, he didn't get to watch it yet, so we're going to be chatting a little bit about it hopefully on episode 150, which drops Friday.
He needs to get his priorities straight. I think that's the problem.
He's got, dude, his priorities like have him straight right now. Like this dude dude is like, he's all over the place, man. He's got a lot of shit going on. But I did chew his ass out for not watching Tiger King, because I feel like the whole world took a pause and like you get, yep, a free pass. Like you tell, if you were to call your boss working from home and he's like, hey, where are those TPS reports? You're like, I'm sorry, I was watching Joe Exotic fucking try to like play with tigers all night. He'd be like, oh, me too, no worries, bro. Like,
yeah, you know, he'd what I mean? Be like, okay, I understand, that's important.
Yeah, but dude, it's a wild ass show, man. And like I learned so much, because like it was not what I thought it was going to be going into it. And then when it starts getting, and by the way, I hope that everybody here has can we mutually agree right now that there are spoilers?
Yeah, because here's the thing, if you haven't seen the show and you are worried about spoilers, then like I'm probably gonna title this episode something about Tiger King. So like I don't know what the fuck you're still doing here.
Yeah, exactly. Like you either have COVID and you're like on a ventilator in a hospital, or you are like dead. That's the only two reasons, right, why you haven't watched Tiger King by this point now. We're like 2 weeks since it's dropped. Yeah. So this show, man, for me, it was the first thing I thought of when I watched it was, okay, this is gonna be like some corny shit that some guy paid a lot of money to get his face put on TV. And essentially that's the exact kind of person Joe Exotic is. So I was a little bit right on that aspect of it. But as far as like getting into like the really crazy wild shit that goes down at these types of places and the type of people that run them, like when I found out that like these were like cults, I was like, okay, I was not expecting this like whatsoever.
Dude, how many twists and turns did that show take too? Like, you'd be watching it and you're like, all right, I kind of get this. Okay, he's a crazy redneck. was Hygers. And then they're like, oh, by the way, he's gay with like two husbands that are straight. And you're like, whoa, what the fuck? Where did that come from?
Yeah, like they're with him for drugs.
Right. And then, well, that one I kind of saw coming. But, and then they're like, oh, by the way, this bitch Carol killed her husband. And you're like, what? Wait a minute. Hold, slow down. And then okay. I'm ashamed to admit this, but I watched that entire docuseries, which I just made up that term for. I watched that entire thing in one sitting.
Holy shit.
In one sitting.
So you saw the sun go down and come up.
No. It was, I mean, I'd like to look up the time, but no, I watched it. I started it. It was over the weekend. I didn't have any work. Started it like during probably, you know, early day, but by like midnight or something. Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Damn, you spent a whole day with Joe Exotic.
A whole day. And I felt like I did spend it with Joe. And I feel like I know him a little bit more intimately now.
I want to get his, like, I want the address to the prison he's at. Can you imagine how many letters people are going to write to him now? Like, when he gets out of prison, like, I was on Twitter the other day, and, like, Big Baby Scumbag was talking about, he's a rapper, and he was talking about Joe Exotic. He's been all over Joe Exotic recently. And I'm just, like, thinking, like, if this dude wrote Joe Exotic right now, like at prison, by the time he got out, they could probably do like, he could probably feature on a rap song with him.
Yeah, but how long is he locked up for?
72 years. So he'd be really old.
He won't even be alive in 72 years. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's murder for hire. So that's the thing though. Like, I think that like where everyone is so confused right now because like everyone's like putting him on a pedestal, including myself, like just because of how he is as a person. Like he's just
right.
Like the moment that I was sold on it was in the first episode. It was like within the first 10 minutes of the show, one of the guy with no legs was like on there talking, and they were either him or the guy with the black hat that was the producer.
Right.
And when he said, Joe is literally, he's not even like a human being. He's this mythical character that just like appeared one day. As soon as I heard that, I was like, I'm going to love this show.
By the way, if it was that documentary producer, this is how he'd say it. Joe's like not even a real person. He's a mythical character. He just appeared one day. I fucking hated the way that guy talked. It drove me crazy.
That dude's pretentious as fuck.
Fuck that guy, dude. That guy's the worst. I'm glad all his shit burned up.
Yeah, right?
I didn't like him from the get-go. I was like, this guy's a fucking asshole.
It's like that whole entire – every person like in that entire documentary. It's a piece of shit. Yeah, yeah. 100, except for the one girl that like got away from the fucking the yoga master tiger guy. Like, she was okay.
Yeah, but even she fell for it and was, like, part of the cult. I'm not saying, like, she's a bad person for that, but it's kind of like, personally have never fallen in line with a cult. So, am I going to judge you a little bit if you have? Absolutely.
Dude, it just goes to show you, like, people get fucking wrapped into shit, I guess. There's a lot of naive people in the world. Because, like, that guy, to me, was the biggest evildoer of all the show.
And you know what's funny about him? My wife, my mom, my little sister, my cousin. What do you call a cousin's children? What are they? Cousins once removed or some shit?
That's like your cousin. That's your little cousins. I don't know.
Right. Little cousins. All of them. I'm at my parents right now in Myrtle, and they have all been to his place and like held the baby tigers, and they have pictures of it and shit.
Oh, my God. That guy thinks he's God, bro.
He literally, that's his nickname, is some Hindu version of God. That needs to be the sequel. It's about him and the trial that he's about to have to go through.
He'll never let it happen. He will never let it happen.
Yeah, that's true.
He literally controlled, like, somebody else. He agreed to let someone come in and run a documentary, and he controlled it. Like, to me, like, that just lets you know, like, that this dude right here is, like, a master manipulator. Like I couldn't deal with him. Like, but how he stayed out of all this and how he's still operating has me throwed.
Like, I think it's because he's so controlling. Like, he doesn't have like loose ends. Like, he takes care of shit. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. He's got like literally. I feel like he works for the cartel secretly.
I think he's just, there's Joe, who's beautiful. You know, just somebody that appeared on the scene. But let's all be honest here. He's kind of a stupid redneck.
Yes.
Whereas 100%. This other guy, I don't think is a super redneck. I think he's a little more conniving, smarter, has everything under control, so he wouldn't allow something like this to happen.
He's a full-blown narcissist that conned, like, a bunch of young women to fuck him and pet tigers all day for $100 a week.
Okay, we want to talk about cons. Jeff Lowe, dude.
Jeff, that guy.
His whole thing was being a con artist, and he's definitely going down.
He's a germ. He reminds me of a literal germ. Like, if Corona was a person, it would be him.
Right. Like, it comes around, and you're just like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that dude, like, he looks like, if I saw that guy, like, in a restaurant, I'd immediately leave because I would feel like he would, like, find a way to, like, spit on my food without me even knowing. Like, he's one of those kind of guys.
If I saw him in a restaurant, I would call a priest and have an exorcism performed because I would only imagine somebody possessed by Satan would decide to dress like such a piece of shit.
Right.
That guy dressed almost made me vomit in my mouth every time I fucking saw him.
Dude, like the Wranglers and affliction tees and bandanas.
Yeah, and the cut up jeans and like, I'm like, how old are you, dude? Your goatee's gray.
Oh my God, dude. He was, I don't know. Like, I can't, this show literally is like the weirdest thing for like the weirdest time in America. Like, it literally like paints the perfect picture of like where we're at right now in 2020.
It's what we all needed.
Yes, exactly. And we haven't even gotten to like the cream of the crop, the tip of the iceberg, Carol Baskin. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we got to discuss her for a minute. The moment I knew 100% that like she killed her husband was towards the end of the series. There was one episode and they were asking like everyone like, it was some kind of question about like how to kill somebody. And she literally said, you know, if I really wanted to kill my husband, I would have just went out and dumped a whole bunch of sardine oil over him.
No,
put him out.
What it was the scene where that hitman from South Carolina, who we still haven't even mentioned either, the fucking hitman, where he put cologne on Joe's boot and the tiger attacked him. I think this is where it was. And then Carol said like cologne, that just smells good. He's just nodded. If you really wanted to, like a tiger to eat somebody, you would put sardine oil.
Yes. Yes. That's the moment I knew like that. Like I literally was in my chair in my living room and I was like, that bitch did it. That's how she did it. She just admitted it on a Netflix show, like it. That's it, right there. Because you can look in her eyes, and you can tell. Like you can look at her when she says it, and she's just like, "That's how I killed Don." Like that's his name, right? Don. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it's Don.
That sounds right. That sounds Don, yeah. Ron, something.
Something. Her husband. We'll go with that. That's how she killed her husband. That's what happened. She admitted it. So now they have legitimately reopened the case.
Right. Thank God. But here's the thing. So a couple of things. If you watch any like detective shows like I do, police, the two things they always look for is a motive and opportunity. She had both in spades, right? Motive and opportunity. That's all she is motive and opportunity of killing her husband, right? She had a reason. He was going to leave her and he was working out with his lawyers to make sure she got nothing.
Yeah.
Opportunity. They owned fucking tigers.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know any other better opportunity. Her brother at the time was like a detective in the police force there. I mean, it was just insane. So the fact that she never went to trial or anything, the fact that they never got warrants to search the septic tank or the meat grinder just blows my mind. But here's the problem. I'm happy they're reopening the case. I think this bitch should go to prison for life. But nothing's going to come of it. How long ago was that? There's no way there's any evidence anymore. There's nothing. She's fine.
She would just have to like openly admit to it, which she'll never do.
Right.
And it sucks. It is what it is. But like Joe, do you really think that he did the murder for hire?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he did.
I believe it too.
I think he did. But here's the problem. I think that Jeff Lowe was also in on it. And he didn't get in trouble at all.
I don't think that at all. I think that Jeff was just like, all he cared about was he knew that like Joe would sign over like the business to a bunch of different people constantly because of this petty shit that he had going on with Carol Baskin. And he saw that as, well, I'm going to get in there, let this dude like me and then get his business. And then I'm just going to take it from him because that's all he really cared about. And it's, I don't think that he was in on the whole deal with the wanting to kill Carol, but I think he used that when he found out about it, he used that as his number one way to be like, all right, I'm getting rid of this motherfucker.
I see what you're saying, but that fat, like, pedo-looking dude, that's probably also going to get arrested.
Yeah, the guy that rides the jet
ski. That was one of the best scenes. Yes, it had nothing to do with the documentary. It was just a scene of him driving a jet ski. That was incredible. That was a Kenny Powers moment.
Yeah, he was like, I love Eastbound and Down. Can I ride my jet ski up? Yeah, sure.
But that dude even said, when they were, like, talking and shit, that he was giving ideas to Joe about how to kill her and how to do it and, like, what they were going to do. I think he was heavily involved, and I think kind of like what you're saying, I think he was involved though because he wanted Joe to like fuck up. So yeah. I think he was pushing him into this.
I feel you on that. I can get behind that 100% because he is a con artist at the end of the day.
Right. And Joe paid the you know, fugitive that's clearly killed people that works for Jeff. Jeff's like bodyguard essentially. Joe decided to pay him when him and Joe fucking hated each other. I guarantee Jeff was the one that was like, my buddy here will do it. Just go ask him, pay him.
I don't know. It's true. I mean, it could be that way. And it probably is that way. But literally, for all we know, some fucking magical gay fairy could have came from the sky and was just like, I'm going to possess you now. And you're going to go kill Carol Baskin. There's all kinds of different things that could happen.
What's crazy, though,
she was an imaginary show.
What's crazy, though, is that he got all those years not even for, like, plotting a murder. He got it for, like, animal cruelty and shit because they didn't have enough on him to actually convict him of that.
Right. And isn't, like, the animal cruelty, was it multiple occurrences or was it just, like, that one piece of footage they had on tape where he was, like, shooting at him?
I think it was multiple occurrences where they proved that he like actually euthanized like baby tigers.
Jesus.
Right. Which I think they just all do because everybody in that's a piece of shit. But maybe this sounds fucked up. I'm going to have like PETA attacking my podcast. I don't necessarily think you should be in prison for the rest of your life for that.
No, I mean, I don't know if you have PETA attacking the podcast. You might just have like people just like, you think it's okay to like murder for hire? Like people... But no,
I mean, like, when it's Carol Baskin, maybe, but yeah.
Well, the world hates Carol now, so it's
right.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of understand when I watch that documentary. I'm like, she kind of fucking pushed him to the edge. This crazy redneck, don't push him to the edge.
Yeah, not even her though, but like just look. Well, it her 100%. Looking in her eyes, you can just see that like the devil lives in there.
Yeah, yeah, she's terrible. She's fucking terrible. I don't know. Either way, like, yeah, I get why he had to go to prison. But a lot of the years, I think, were for, like, the animal cruelty. And I just think, I don't know, that seems like a crazy amount of time for what he was actually sentenced for. Did you see that he's, like, requesting a presidential pardon from Trump and, like,
yes,
$100 million or something like that in restitution?
It was, like, $72 million or something. I guess, like, $1 million for every year he was supposed to be locked up or something like that. But he's opening this $72 million lawsuit. I think that's the number, pretty sure. And then he wants to pardon. But how are you going to get a presidential pardon when you were kicked out of a golfing event from Trump? If he don't even want you there, I don't know.
Wait, what happened?
So supposedly Joe Exotic tried to attend some kind of event for Donald Trump, and they kicked him out. They were like, no, you can't be here.
Yeah, Trump's clearly not going to give him a presidential pardon, but he could like potentially get something overturned. You don't need a pardon, right?
I'm not a lawyer. Donnie just needs to watch Tiger King, and he needs to figure it out for himself.
Tiger King. He's pretty hip. You know, he's got his ear to the ground when it comes to memes. So
he would be crucified right now, though, if he watched Tiger King.
What do you mean?
He would be crucified if he watched Tiger King right now.
Because people would be like, you're not working at him hard anyway. Enough.
Yeah, it's like, we're literally in the middle of a crisis and you're watching Tiger King? Like, that's like every dude. Like, all the left would jump on him heavy. And I'm sure people from the right, too.
I give Trump one episode a night. How about that, guys?
maybe like a week. I feel like if you do like once a week and he's like, okay, like
that's going to take too long. I'm going to not care anymore. I need him to catch up.
Yeah. Well, COVID will be gone. Well, after COVID's gone, I guarantee you, we get a tweet. Wow. Just watching Tiger King, think I'm going to let Joe go. It's like, let's just let that happen. That's all we can ask for.
See, I want that now. Now that I actually care. Because in like fucking 3 months, who knows, maybe I'll be like, Tiger King. Oh, that's right.
Well, don't worry, because there'll be a movie. Have you seen all the rumors on Twitter where they're like pairing people? Like they have like Danny McBride obviously has to be Joe Exotic.
That's no, awesome. I heard complete opposite. I heard that he was going to play the guy from Merle.
No, that's Haley Joel Osment.
No, I heard Danny McBride was not going to do Joe Exotic.
Everything I've been seeing online, it's like this is the perfect person to play him. Like, you have to play. Like, this is just like – this isn't people saying they're going to. This is
But
just
he doesn't
like,
look anything like him. That's, like, that's terrible.
But he could wrap that personality up really well.
Yeah, and I mean, if he pulled doesn't look anything like him, though.
I think Matthew McConaughey would be really good.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, like what is it? Dallas Buyers Club Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, yeah. Holy shit.
With
that's not
true
bad.
Detective mustache.
But that you know who – I mean, you know who tweeted that and got all this going was Dax Shepard.
Really?
Dax Shepard, yeah. He tweeted it like pretty early on, and that's, I think, kind of what got everybody talking about the movie and stuff, because he said, like, I guess he had just watched it, and he was like, if I don't, like, get a Joe Exotic role if they make a movie, then, like, what the fuck was I doing with my career or something like that.
Is it bad that I don't know who that is?
Have you seen Idiocracy?
Yes.
Remember the dumb, like, sidekick that he ends up meeting in Idiocracy?
Yeah. Okay,
or, like, employee of the month.
Yeah, here,
with
I'm
Dane
baiting.
Cook.
I'm baiting that guy.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
He would be pretty good because he's skinny. He's blonde. Like, I think he could do it.
He could. He would be good. And like Matthew McConaughey's had a lot of like sleazy roles, so I mean, I think he might be good for.
Matthew McConaughey might be like, you know, is this going to be a comedy? Which it should be. Then I think Dax Shepard would be great for it. And yeah. I think you need though Danny McBride in it somehow. That's the only thing.
Yeah, but it's like, where could you put him at that point? Like, if he's not – like, could we see, like, a super skinny Danny McBride? That's the question.
I don't know if I want to see a skinny Danny McBride.
I don't either. But, like, I mean, we got a skinny Jonah Hill now.
And I didn't like that either.
I don't know. He's – it's different. Like, he's still got, like, the turkey gobbler coming off of his chin.
Right. He was good in, like, 21 and 22 Jump Street. Those were fucking great movies. So. Yeah.
But, like, he got, like, he must have had, like, some work done, because when he was directing mid-90s, which is, like, that independent right. film he made, he was, like, his face was, like, tight. Like, he must have got some work done to suck that.
And, by the way, that movie was
I love that movie.
It was
I grew up skating, so for me, it's, like.
Yeah, I mean, everybody did as kids. Like, that's when I grew up skateboarding, but still, I was kind of, like, okay.
Now, see, I like literally woke up. I'd wake up at like 7 o'clock in the morning, like just go skateboard, and I wouldn't stop till like 10. Like that was like life, like all my friends. So like for me, mid-90s was like everything that was going down in that whole movie. Like that was kind of like how my friend group was.
I mean, I know we're the same age. You're telling me this. Like
you know,
we have the same childhood. I'm just saying the movie itself was
Yeah, it's different. It definitely is different. I watched it a few times, but I'm one of those weird people that like movies that are like underrated. Like, I'll, like, love them. Like, if they get, like, a horrible score on Rotten Tomatoes, I'm, like, the guy that actually loves the movie.
And I'm like, okay, have you seen The Hunt?
I haven't yet, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I need to see this movie. I saw a trailer for it a while back, and didn't they postpone this movie because they said it was something, it was, like, too political for the time or something?
Yeah, people were pissed about it, like, based on the trailer, because it's essentially, like, liberal elites hunting and killing conservatives. But dude, here's the thing, everybody overreacted. It's a fucking comedy. It's like making fun of Hunger Games. Like it's a
so it's like Zombie Land.
Yeah, kind of. It's a man, let me think about it. What kind of
movie? I thought it was supposed to be like that's what happened. Then it was not supposed to be a comedy. It was supposed to be a horror movie.
I'm pretty sure they tried to. There's no way they didn't make this a comedy on purpose. Like, I don't know, just the whole like main actor and like how everything goes down. Like, watch it. Just watch it. I promise you'll love it.
Okay, I'm going to check this out. Maybe it's like a Sharknado. Maybe it wasn't supposed to be funny, but it was. And it was so bad.
No, because they have comedians in it and shit.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, I've got to watch this for sure.
I think people just like saw the trailer because the trailer doesn't – because it's – let's see. Do you ever see like – what was that? Cabin in the Woods, I think it was called.
Oh, Cabin Fever?
No. It was Cabin in the Woods.
That's a creepy movie.
Cabin in the Woods. And it was
like – oh, yeah.
It was kind of making fun of horror movies. It was almost like funny. Because it was like, it was a horror movie, but it was like making fun of it, right? Like they had the jock and the hot girl and, you know.
Right.
It was making fun of it. That's kind of what this movie does. It like makes fun of these like Hunger Games style movies. And
Emma Roberts is in this shit?
Just watch it, dude. It's fucking. And
holy shit. I'm looking at pictures right now.
And it really, it just makes fun of politics. Like it's making fun of like both sides totally. Completely. If anything, it makes liberals look a lot worse because they're literally hunting just innocent conservatives.
That's probably why they shut it down in the
right.
first place.
Yeah, because the liberals look way, way worse than this. But it makes fun of both sides. Like, you know, I've heard some people be like, oh, you know, they used the word like snowflake and it was cringy. But I was like, yeah, but it was meant to satire. Like, it was satire. That girl was like calling somebody a snowflake. Like, it was satire, you know?
Oh,
it's
my
fucking
God.
Joke. It's not like. I don't know. I think everybody took it too serious. I was like cracking up.
Yeah. Like, what is our world now? Like, yeah, right. If you really get sick, like, I mean, look, like, you know, we goof off. I'm a goofy dude. You're a goofy dude. But, like, dude, it's like, it's getting so rough. It's like right now, like, we're in the middle of a fucking crisis. And, like, people are still, like, playing this, like, back and forth shit. Like, it's just like, yo, like, just let's everybody get better. All
right. Right. Just loosen
up. I need fucking sports in my life.
We're
Jesus.
Too tight. Loosen up. if anything, Joe Exotic's brought us together. But
yes, he has.
Because
yes.
I've seen like liberals and conservatives online being like, fuck Carol. I'm like, yeah, yeah let's
yeah,
go.
That's one thing we can all agree on for sure.
Fuck Carol.
But no. But dude, so like other than Netflix, man, though, like I mean I just started Ozark. I'm already addicted. I know that that a lot of people have already seen it. I'm like really behind, so I'm catching up.
Yeah, they're in season 3, man.
I know. I got a lot of people have been telling me to watch that show since 2017.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible.
I love it. Love it to death. Jason Bateman is
Oh my god.
Yeah. He is like, dude, I've never seen him in a serious role. And like it's like he can't though, because it's like there's just still times where like he'll just be sarcastic as fuck and it's just like, yep, that's Jason. That's him.
Exactly. He's just sarcastic and he like kind of calls people out for being dumbasses. That's what he does. But I also notice in all his comedy roles, he's always surrounded by like funny people, and he's more of just like the level-headed person that like speaks the truth that we're all thinking.
Yes, he is definitely like him and Danny McBride have like this same thing going on to where like they're it's like you kind of have like an iconic role, you know what I mean? Like he was in what Arrested Development, and he that was like his first like big break, I think, like as an actor, and that was like. He kind of carried that character and persona through his career. And the same thing with like Danny McBride. Like I think for him, Kenny Powers was the one that like attached to him. So like now everything that he's in, it's like, I just see Kenny Powers. So every time I see Jason Bateman, I just see his character in Arrested Development.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. Cause Jason Bateman, he's like been in shit, but you're right. You think of his character, you think of Arrested Development. Like mm-hmm. that was him.
Yeah, that's just who he is as an actor. Like when you book this man in your movie, you go ahead and just let it be known that like that this is who you're getting. This is your character. That he plays one person all the time.
Right. He's playing the guy from Arrested Development. I hope you liked the show because that's his character.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing else. And that's the same thing with Danny McBride. I can't see him as anybody else. So that's a gift. That's a gift though. It's a good thing.
Today, and I guess we won't talk about Ozarks too much because I haven't watched season 3 yet.
Yeah,
you're only in season 1. I'm not going to give anything away because a lot of shit fucking goes down.
Oh.
Great show, though. Anybody that hasn't watched it, highly recommend it. But during lunch today, during my break, I watched a Netflix movie called The Platform. You heard that? Platform.
It sounds familiar, but I don't – but it's elaborate. Like
recommended on Netflix. It's a Spanish flick, but they have it dubbed, not subbed. So they just do, like, the voiceover shit. It's fine. It's, I mean, you get used to it. It's, you know, it's not great, but the movie's fucking weird. Have you ever seen the movie? And I watch a lot of fucking movies, so I might be name dropping a lot of random movies. Have you ever seen the movie, The Cube?
Yes. It's kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah. The Cube was, that was the movie I'm thinking of, right? From the 90s.
Oh, are you thinking of the one with Jennifer Lopez?
Not Cube.
Are you thinking of one with J-Lo and fucking Vince Vaughn? Like where it was like where he was like in his mind and like she was like the devil?
No. I know what you're talking about. No, it was Cube. It was Cube. Not The Cube. That's what it was. It was just Cube. That's what was throwing me off. Is this 1997. Cube. And they're trapped in a prison, and the prison's always rotating and shit, and they have to find a way out. Anyway, incredible movie. If you haven't seen it, highly recommended. I think you can watch it on like Hulu or Netflix. Excellent movie. So anyway, this movie just seemed kind of like a ripoff of that movie to me, and I had wished you'd watch it because it's so fucking weird, and I have so much to say about it. But maybe
I'm
next
currently,
time.
I'm currently looking at images right now in Google, and I'm going to give you a Garage Guy Chase quick assessment of the platform.
Okay, I'll tell you if it's, I'll tell you how the assessment is.
All right, this movie is fucking out there, okay? You got a guy eating a shitload of food at this random concrete table.
Yep.
Guys staring, I don't know, it's like a cross between Pan's Labyrinth and the trench pool from Matilda. I don't know how it's other to explain that. See this one guy, he's like looking down a hole, dude's got a bloody face. This dude's got a knife and reading a book, man. And it's like a prison of monks in the future. Homeboy is looking like a low budget Matthew McConaughey. I mean, and this dude finally, like he just, this girl sitting on that table with all the food, I guess she's going to be eaten next, by the weird guy. So there's this guy with a samurai sword. Yeah, this movie's got it all. You should watch it.
Just a quick rundown. You've pretty much summed it up. They're in a prison. They don't know how many floors it is. And it's just like one room per floor, you know, just like a prison cell. And in the middle of the whole thing is a rectangular hole that goes all the way from the top to the bottom.
Where do they poop? Where do they poop?
They got toilets in there.
Okay, cool.
It's like a prison cell, you know. You know, like when you went to prison, you remember. They have a hole that goes all the way down. And so the deal is each month you rotate to another random cell. So you're on a different floor, higher or lower. It's just random. And there's a big concrete table, as you were mentioning, that slowly goes down each floor. Okay. And it'll stop at your floor for just like a couple minutes, and you can eat whatever food is on there. You can't take any food off it, or else they'll kill you. So you can just eat what's on the table while it's on your floor, like in front of you. And then after a couple minutes, it starts to lower again, and you're done eating for the day. So the higher up floors eat like all the fucking food first, and the bottom floors end up not getting any food. So they have to like kill each other to like survive. But then next month they might be on fucking floor 6 where they have, you know, a full fucking meal full of beautiful, nice food and they can just gorge all they want.
What happens when the person eventually rode the platform down to another floor?
You gotta watch it.
Ooh, because I mean, it's like, what's stopping people from jumping into the hole and just killing themselves?
People do that. Yeah. Yeah. People do that.
Oh, crazy. Yeah, okay. I got to watch this because, like, I feel like this is a lot of mind fuckery.
It's weird.
Does M. Night Shyamalan twist?
You know, we'll just watch it. But I will say it's weird enough to where I'd, like, recommend somebody watching it, but it's also not very satisfying. And it's gory as fuck, so prepare for that.
Ooh, yeah, I feel like eventually somebody's going to, like, start getting eaten, like, out on the table.
Yeah, that doesn't take long for that.
Oh, got you. Okay, so I figured it out. All right, I watched the movie now.
There you go.
On Google Images. It was great.
There you go.
So, yeah. So, anyway, yeah, Netflix has just – it's been consuming all my time. But, of course, like, I am grateful that we have some iRacing stuff happening.
Yeah, especially for us racing guys. That's, like, the only other thing other than Netflix or Hulu or – I don't know what the fuck everybody else watches. I watch all of them personally. But – We also, sorry, people are slamming doors around here. By the way, how do I sound?
You sound crisp and clean.
Do I sound incredible?
You sound like a baby rattlesnake going through some really dry leaves in the forest. Like, it's very crisp.
That's it. So, I have my new mic here.
Really good. Yeah.
Thank you. I have my new, I'm doing a, what is that? ESR, what's that called?
I don't know.
ASR?
Oh yeah. ASMR.
When they talk like this right into their microphone.
People jack off to that, dude. That's crazy.
Wait, can you jack off to things other than that?
Oh, fuck. God,
that's
damn it.
All I can jack off to.
I'm just constantly exposing your inner truths every time I'm on this show.
Well, I'm only doing it accidentally because I thought that was normal. Fuck.
Oh, fuck, man. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So I have my new microphone, and I'm in a walk-in closet, by the way, little trick. If you're recording a podcast and you want the best sound, go into a walk-in closet. If it can like fit, you know, a table in your setup, because the clothes and shit hanging all around you muffles the sounds and stuff.
Dude, you're already like, dude, you got it. You got it figured out. I'm proud. I'm proud.
Well,
right now.
I'm too poor to afford a walk-in closet when I'm back in Austin, but here in Myrtle with my parents, got a walk-in closet. So. Man.
I want to talk about iRacing, but like, there's so much shit I can say about Myrtle Beach too. oh my God, like, there's not enough time in this, man. But yeah, it's pretty cool that like you. I didn't know you had family over in Myrtle Beach.
That's my parents. That's where they live. Yeah,
I lived in Myrtle for about a year, man. It was.
Did you?
It was different. Yeah.
I did not know that. Okay, we'll have to talk about this off air then, because I did not know you lived in Myrtle.
Facts.
Because you commented on one of my things like Myrtle, and I was like, wait, how does he know about Myrtle?
Yeah, what we'll do is this. We'll put our conversation on the on your Patreon page, and all your loyal fans that buy your stuff can listen to that conversation.
I would love to set up one of those, but I think I would just be depressed to realize how terrible my fans are. Like, I already know that I have the worst fans, but I think that would make me really realize like my fans fucking
don't
suck.
Don't be so hard on yourself, man. You never know.
Hard on me. I'm hard on my shitty fans. They're fucking terrible. They're the worst.
You gotta rate, review, and subscribe everywhere. That's how you know. That's the real ones right there.
Yeah, they don't do that. That's why I know they're the fucking worst. And I know they're listening. I see the amount of people listening, and I know they're there.
It's just like they're too lazy to click a button. Jesus. Let's give them a reason to click it.
They just do it because they're cynical assholes. So anyway, we got iRacing, right? You're now involved in IRSCA, which is the league that I've been in Belly Up Sports. So give us a little rundown of your experience so far.
Yeah, so I noticed that ever since me and you got introduced online and we started chatting, you know, I started seeing a lot of your tweets.
Love at first sight.
Yeah, there it is right there. Just two guys, mustaches, NASCAR.
Just loving each other. What's wrong with that?
That's it. Just
Joe Exotic made it okay.
That's right. Good man love right there. lot of horsepower behind it. Shaking in your boots. I saw that you were involved and I started noticing this ERSCA league, and I'm like, you know, now that sports are done and like this iRacing stuff, I'd always wanted to get into iRacing because like I had noticed that there was, you know, a lot of drive, like William Byron was the first driver I ever heard of doing it. And I played NASCAR Heat 4 for a lot. I found out that like you're very much frowned upon if you play that.
I found that out as well. Yep.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, whatever. I'm going to keep playing it anyway because I don't feel like spending a shitload of money on this. So I'm just going to do what I can on my Xbox. And that's what I did. So when all this happened, I started to like be like, okay, well, you know, I would love to see, like, I had this idea for a NASCAR. And when I was in Daytona, I was chatting with Jeffrey Earnhardt and some of his buddies, and we were all out there on pit road. And I was talking with Jeff, and I'm like, I'm going to get a car for you one day, and it's going to be the sexiest car of all time, and you're going to drive it. And he was like, I'll do it. And he was like, well, what would it
if
look
you
like?
Pay me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was a lot of money. I literally flirted with the idea of starting a GoFundMe and just putting signatures of like everyone on the car, written really small. But I think that he's got some shit coming up with Floyd Mayweather and the money team now, though.
Oh shit. That would be tight.
Yeah, so according to something I had read online, I wouldn't be saying this if I heard it directly from him unless he didn't care, but I read online where the money team wrapped a paint scheme for him for iRacing. So that automatically leads some people to believe that when everything fires back up, he may be with the money team racing Chevy Camaro. So we'll see.
Interesting.
Yes, very much so. So keep that in your back pocket. But back on topic, I just put it in my back pocket. I saw one day this that when the whole Barstool deal came out where we were going to see the Clint Bowyer car with the Dragon.
Ugly scheme. I'm just going to throw it out there.
It's good for conversation.
No, it is, but like you could have still made a better look. And the Dragon looks trash. I could have done a better Dragon. Just going to throw that out there.
This is what happened. So we originally released it, and then there was a guy on Twitter, goes by the name of Noah Sweet. He redesigned it.
Oh, yeah. I know Noah. Yeah, I follow him.
He fixed it up, and he put it out there. So I was like, damn, like, okay, this dude's, like, doing some fucking badass cars. Like, I'm going to DM this guy. So I DM him, and I'm like, hey, man. I'm like, I've always wanted to, like, just see a Garage Guys Fantasy Sports Chevy Camaro. Like, I just wanted to see what it would look like. He ended up hitting me back, and we started working together a little bit. And he sent me back this what is now my Twitter cover photo, the most beautiful car ever. And I'm like, oh, my God, I love this car. And then so I just, like, literally, like, kept working with Noah. And then one day I put out, like, I started noticing we did the Pro Invitational. And then iRacing just kind of started exploding 2 weeks ago. So I'm like, hey, is there anybody out there that wants to drive this freaking beautiful car? You know, like, hit me up. So I had a couple of people hit me up online. And I actually had one of the Gander Outdoors Truck Series drivers email DM me, but it was too late by the time I got the message because I had already allowed Ronnie Osmer, he's an ARCA driver, to drive the truck in Ryan Vargas's race. So, you know, we made a truck. Me and Noah got together. We put the paint scheme on a truck. Ronnie was driving it. We got all the way to, like, the third phase where if you make top 10, you get into the race on, you know, Podium Esports. Well, we ended up getting wrecked in that race, pulled out. There's another one coming up. Ronnie will be back in the truck. But after that, I'm like, I love this shit. Like, I'm hooked now. And then I see you in this Erska League, and I start getting these DMs. I got a DM from a guy named Scott Crump, which he races in Erska. And he says, yo, you need to check out these two brothers, Kenny and Kyle Lowry.
And Scott Crump, isn't he, like, leading? He's really good.
Yeah, well, he finished, like fourth or fifth in Bristol on Monday. So, I mean, he did, and he came from, like, the back, so he did really well.
Yeah.
But Scott hit me up. He sent me their records. I get to look at them. So I get in contact with the guys, and they race Supras. And I wasn't a big fan of that. And I was like, you know, I was like, is there any way you can race Camaro? And they're like, no, we got to stay with what we have. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So I hit up Noah. I'm like, yo, I need you to wrap me a Garage Guys Fantasy Sports Toyota Supra.
Dude, I did the same thing. I had it on a Chevy. And then, Christian Eckes, because he drives Toyotas in real life, he was like, it has to be a Supra. And I was like, all right, fuck it. But yeah. I understand.
Yeah, so, like, you get it and I get it. But I will say this. The Supra looks pretty badass.
It does, yeah.
It looks like a little space rocket ship. Like,
it does. Love it. That's a good way to describe it. Yes.
It's a little rocket ship. So I fuck with it. And then his brother, I was like, okay, well, I got to get something new. So I get with Noah. And of course, you know, we're sponsored by Drip Drop. By the way, if you go to dripdrop.com, use promo code GarageGuys20, you'll get 20% off your order.
Are they going to pay me now that you're on my podcast saying that?
Maybe I can get you some Drip Drop. I like to do that. They've been doing all kinds.
Give me a sponsorship with them. How about that?
I don't know. You'll have to talk with them, man. I worked on that for like over a year. So it was tough, but I made it happen. But yeah, we made the Drip Drop car for Kyle. He's the number two Supra. And then Kenny's driving the Garage Guys Fantasy Sports 22. And Kyle, I talked with them, and we got in Miami. Like, I got to see, you know, Kenny out there in the car, and he got a top five, and I was excited. And Drew was just, like, hating on it. He was just like, big race today. he hates on it so much because, like, he's like, you just live tweet. Like, it's like it's a Super Bowl. And I'm like, well, it's a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I saw him, like, tweet out that poll or whatever.
He did a poll. I voted for virtual hand jobs to our drivers.
So, yeah, that was a good one.
I play along. So, but yeah, you know, we had Bristol and dude, I'll be honest, like I'm loving it. My whole goal right now is though, I found out it's a brand new league this year. I did not know that. Brand new. And, it's up to me and you and some of these other guys to just build this thing up, man. Like I know we can get our viewership up in this league and there's nothing more than I love than supporting something new, startups. My podcast, your podcast is your business you work for is a startup itself. So I love supporting that type of business. So I'm just excited to be able to grow this league. And I'm excited to have a racing team, man. Like it's been a dream of mine for a while, you know, and I can't do it with real cars right now, but it's like, hell, like I've got these two guys like driving cars with like our logos and shit on them. I'm like, this is, you know, little me right now is screaming, like asking when he can buy the diecast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, same. Absolutely. And I loved your paint scheme. And by the way, I don't know if you feel comfortable saying this, but how much does Noah charge for the paint schemes?
Yeah, I overpay him. Normally I think that he's somewhere around 10 to 15.
God damn, that's cheap.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I charged like 20 when I was making a couple paint schemes. I thought that was cheap.
He may be going up by now, but I will say this, the work that he did, maybe he was just being frugal. And if he is, that's great. But I paid him well over that because it meant a lot to me because like, I was like, dude, this is, you're talented as fuck.
Yeah.
And you know, he definitely, now that he's got, he designed Landon Castle's car for last week's pro invitational series. Yeah.
Is he like a student in graphic design or something like that?
He is. And, he's supposedly he's got an internship with Barstool coming into the summer.
Damn. All right. So fat shout out. If anybody listening and they need a paint scheme done or just want a cool design, what's his tag? We need to give him a shot because I love his stuff as well.
Yeah, Noah is he's fantastic. You can follow him at NoahSweet7. And his Abby is just it's like yellow and it's got his face in there.
And it's Sweet SWEET.
Yeah, it's NoahSweet7. At NoSweet7.
He has great content though. I'm glad you brought that up because I've been meaning to give him a mention on the podcast. Once I followed him, I was like, damn, I love his shit that he does.
Yeah, but if you're listening to this right now, like I said, that was a couple weeks ago. He may have went up on his schemes, and I hope to God he has.
Yeah, I hope so too.
If he hasn't, you better overpay him at least $10 to $20 because he deserves it. That dude works so hard. And he like literally will put his neck out there to like get anybody anything they need. His turnaround is amazing, and especially if you get him to follow you and you guys have conversations and stuff, he is one of the nicest guys ever. I'm hoping to be able to do a little bit more work with him outside of paint schemes and getting some t-shirt designs and things like that. So
see, I'm a pretty cocky guy when it comes to my designs, but. I was charging, like I said, I was charging $20 for paint scheme designs, and I may have to admit that he does better than I do. And if he's charging that little, I hope to God he's charging double that by now.
Yeah, he should be. And that, like I said, I hit him up like almost 3 weeks ago.
Right.
So I mean, he's been blowing up. Started. Yeah. So he's blown up, dude. I've watched his followers go from like. He was in the hundreds. I mean, he's over 1,000 now. So, I mean,
I don't know how I found him. I think I followed him, I think, right before he did your paint scheme. Somehow, maybe it was around the same time you found him. I don't know what happened, but.
I know Portnoy quote tweeted him and Barstool quote tweeted him. So
okay, that's probably what it was.
If you followed them, you probably saw him there.
Yeah, that's probably what it was then. Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember where I found him at, but he was somewhere in like a thread and I saw him, and then that's when I saw he did the Barstool scheme and I saw a couple of his other ones and I'm like, okay.
See, did he do the dragon scheme?
He fixed it. He fixed the dragon.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I'll have to check it out. I think it was the flames on it or something I didn't like.
Yeah, he changed that. He changed
He didn't like that either. Right. There was something cheesy about it, I remember, and I was like, what is it that I don't like about this? Because the idea is hilarious. I should love this.
Right. Jeff Block and all them. Yeah. It was
right. Yeah. I'll go back and check that out then. Anyway, but Noah, hope that shout out helped you. I know you don't even know me, but I follow your shit. I think you follow me too. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, you should do it. If you're listening to this, Noah, yeah, go check him out for sure. But little piece from Garage Guys.
Shout out to the clock.
I don't know if you can hear it or not. But it's there.
I can hear it, so I assume my listeners can hear it. All right. And if they don't know, everybody go listen Do you want to give a plug to your podcast? I've been on your show at least once. I'm going to come back on it.
Yeah, you got to get back. Friday, episode 150. You can follow us at GGFS Podcast. And we talk about, right now we're talking about iRacing and we're talking about all the other shit that's happening in the world. And yeah, but normally we're, you know, primarily fantasy football, NFL. And then fantasy NASCAR and DFS content. That's what we pump out. And then we have Garage Talk. Right now, we're really heavy. Our Monday episodes, we're doing Westworld recaps. So a Ooh. Lot of people are big into Westworld. I know I'm a huge, like, Westworld's like my number one show.
See, I fell off on season two for Westworld, personally.
Oh, my God. You got to get back on it, bro.
I know. I've heard season three is back, and it's like people are loving it again. So I might have to.
Right. And we have episode 150. Like I said, it's going to be we're going to do something special for Friday's episode. So definitely subscribe, rate and review. And if you rate and review and subscribe my podcast, then go and rate and review, subscribe this one, because you're already here listening to it. And if you haven't done that, you're shitty. And just remember that.
And I'll send you a picture of my butt, my bare naked butt.
Yeah, you can, like, we can put your butt on a hero card and you can, like, digitally sign it, like all these NASCAR drivers have been doing.
Like, if you've ever watched King of the Hill, and then you would know Hank Hill is notorious for having a white guy butt, or in layman's terms, no butt. That's me. Right. And so you get a nice big naked picture of that pale no butt.
That's it, Bobby. Damn it, Bobby. You see, that's how he Damn takes it, the Bobby. Wheel. I love that fucking show.
Or maybe I should threaten people. Like, I'll send you a picture of my naked butt unless you what is it? Like, review, rate?
Rate, like, review.
Did you say love. Rape?
Rape.
Do you say rape subscribe. Three times in a row? Jesus.
Rape, you better rape this podcast. I want you to take it and hold it down. No, rate, review, and subscribe.
Did you ever watch Whitest Kids You Know?
I loved Whitest Kids You Know.
The Grapist.
The Grapist? I just remember liquid PCP, a gallon of PCP.
The Grapist. It's the commercial for grape juice, and he's the Grapist.
Oh, no. I'm the Grapist. It's
I'm
me.
Gonna chain you. I'm going to chain you down, Gosh. Kids, and grape you in the mouth.
Dude, do they show that anywhere? No, like, Fuse doesn't do shit YouTube. Anymore.
YouTube. They have a YouTube channel, and they just uploaded, like, full episodes of that show on their shit for free.
This episode just needs to be Garage Guy Chase and Rattlesnake TV Talk.
I think that's probably what I'm going to title it, actually. That's not a bad TV something. Talk. Yeah, TV Talk, Netflix and something would be funny as well.
Quarantine Night in America. That's
I'm
what
recording,
it is.
So like the audience gets to hear us what we usually do, not recording, figuring out what to title something. That they're listening to this.
Yeah, that's why I love this time. Like, this is a great time we're living in. We're conversating.
This is chairgating, man. This is it.
Like, literally, we're in a virtual like yard. Like, just drinking, like, you're drinking beer, and I've got, like, a tall boy of, like, Liquid Death mountain water.
I am drinking beer. They have beer on tap here at my parents, so drinking tap beer, thank God. That's my favorite.
I had a little ganj earlier. That was about it. Yeah. Ooh. I like to live my life like that.
I'm at my parents, so I'll refrain from saying anything. But before we go, last thing, to wrap this all up, we were talking iRacing, and you had some beef with iRacing. Can you go through and just kind of read the thread that you had that you were telling me before? Because it was pretty hilarious.
Yeah. So first off, I want to say this. iRacing is great. It has saved America in a time of need. And it's also, I think it's incredible that we are literally getting to slap all of our parents in the face that love racing, that are watching these, for giving a shit maybe of watching some Twitch.
And he shows. Means literally, kids. Yeah. All kids listening, go slap your parents in the face, literally. That's
right.
That's what Garage Guy Chase means.
Yeah, Trippy Red's been telling people to do that on Instagram Live stories. Slap your mom with cheese or some shit. I don't know. Wild shit. But anyway, I got the iRacing subscription. My plan was, I don't have any intention on doing the iRacing stuff at this time. Like I said, I'm fully invested in Kyle and Kenny running our stuff in Urska.
Kenny.
But yeah, Kenny, I wanted to be able to live stream these races and do commentary and talk with our guys on Twitch. So I said, okay, well, the only way I can do that is to get an iRacing subscription. So I got a subscription. I got like 50% off. It was like $6. And whenever I got it, I went in and I was like, okay, well, I got it on my MacBook, and I'm like, okay, well, I need to get a PC now. So I borrowed a PC. It was like an HP laptop.
Does it have to be a PC? And just out of curiosity.
Yeah, it does. You can't run iRacing on a Mac, which I think is trash.
That is trash. I have a Mac.
Absolute trash. Me
that's
too.
That's racist,
Mac,
dude.
Mac's the way to go. Like, we're content creators. Yes. So that's one strike against iRacing already. So that's strike one. Again, still love you for doing everything you're doing in the world right now. But me and you personally, we have beef. Yeah, we have beef. So I get this, and then I'm downloading it, and I finally get it downloaded. It takes me like an hour and a half to download. I'm on the phone with Kyle. Kyle's running practice laps the night before the race on Sunday. So I didn't realize it was going to take me like 2 hours to download this shit. I'm like, fuck. It's able to run the program. Everything's fine. And I get it downloaded, and I'm thinking, okay, well, now I can just go find where their race is at. I can go watch it, and I can go around their car, and I can watch and follow his car and shit. No. I get in there finally, and then I'm like, okay, where are you guys at? He's like, all right, you see Scott's name? And him and Scott Crump are in a practice session. I go to click on it, and it's like, you don't own this track, and you don't own a car for this series. You must purchase now. Like $30 for I bought like an Xfinity Camaro and the track Bristol, which is like $15 for the track. And then it's like 15 for the car.
No fucking way.
Yeah. So I buy that, and then I go to get into the system.
Well, you have to buy tracks individually for real?
Yes. Every track you have to purchase.
No.
Like, there's a lot of money that goes in.
Are you serious?
Yes, people are spending a shitload. You have to. It's like $120 for a year. And then once you get that, that's when you got to purchase everything. That's the only way for you to get things. You have to buy them. So
what the fuck? Not even like PlayStation does shit like that. They're like, right. I mean, I guess you buy the game and then they'll like charge you for like upgrades. Yeah. I don't know. Still,
I'll put it to you this way. That company, they're not hurting right now. Put it that way.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
And I mean, that's like, think of all the racetracks and all the different types of racing that's on this service and all the money that it costs for you. If you want to do that, you have to buy it. So I buy Bristol in a car and I get into this service. Once I'm in here, I have this car that I'm not even going to drive. And it's like telling me to use my trackpad to drive it. And I'm like, this is dumb. I was like, I can't do this. I have to have a wheel and a pedal kit. Well, I'm like, the only thing I want to do is spot. So once I get in, my graphics on this computer are so trash. I can't even see like the paint scheme on my car, and it looks like literally 2000 Nintendo 64 NASCAR. That's what it looks like. I'm like, there's no way in hell I can stream this. Like, this is not going to happen. So I was like, fuck it, let bygones be bygones. It is what it is. And I ended up just streaming. I streamed like the YouTube race, and
can you hear my wife talking in the background?
I can't. I can't hear her. No.
Jesus Christ.
I can't hear her at all. You're good. That mic is good. That's
when I get out of here. Anyway, yeah. Sorry, go on.
You're good. But yeah, so after all that was done, like I literally like got out of it and I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to email them and I'm going to, you know, get refunded and I'm going to cancel it and I'll, you know, figure out another way to do it. I'll just do it, you know, on, you know, just the normal YouTube race or whatever. And I'll just get a Discord and talk to them. So I email them about it and this is what they tell me. So the first email comes through, and then they come in. We're very sorry, but we typically do not give out refunds. To alleviate the possibility of computers being slow below spec, we have mentioned this in numerous places, such as system requirements, FAQ. We also have an application on our website where you can test your computer. I did that, by the way. although not something we typically do, as a one-time courtesy, we can deactivate your account and add 13 iRacing credits to your account that you can use whenever you renew the account anytime in the future after upgrading your computer. I said, I just wanted to use the program to be a spotter and to stream on Twitch and had no idea I would have to buy cars and tracks. After buying that car and track, when I found out the system couldn't even load a race properly, I realized there was no point in me having it. I don't even own a wheel and pedal kit. They come back with this. Hi, Chase. Although this is not something
very somber.
Yes.
Hi, Chase.
As a one-time courtesy, we can begin the refund approval process and see if it gets approved. At this point, I'm like, okay, great. This is what I want to hear. Then comes the but. But it will include a $5 refund fee. We are only able to do this for the subscription. The content will remain on the account and is non-refundable. Please let me know if this is still what you would like us to do. For one, my subscription was $7 after taxes. You're literally going to give me $2 as a refund when I really want to be refunded for $30 for a track and a car. So I am at this point, I'm pissed. I'm like, this is like the biggest slap in the face. I said, so technically there's no refund. I said, the main thing I was concerned about was the $30 I spent on a track and car. I said, so technically my refund would be like $2. I said, would have just preferred you say no to the request and send an email virtually slapping me in the face. With the amount of traffic your service is getting through national television, I find it hard to believe that a $30 refund would put your accounts in the negative. And I have got no response from them. So I'm guessing they got the message that I'm a little fucking on edge. So, yeah, fuck iRacing for that reasoning. And if you have the slightest doubt that your computer can't do it, don't fucking download it. And that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's insane. I've never heard of a policy that strict. Usually places will be like, oh, sorry for, you know, the confusion. I deal with that all the time. People will email me at work and be like, I never didn't want to, you know, have some renewal on donations or subscriptions. Like, we need to cancel.
Yeah, stop being greedy, iRacing.
I immediately cancel and refund them all their money and apologize for the confusion.
That's I do that to Hulu every month. I just cancel and resubscribe.
I think that's how all businesses work. So really disappointing to hear. Maybe we need to make our own.
We should. You know what we should do? Well, let's just use NASCAR Heat.
Fuck it. I already own NASCAR Heat.
Yeah, me too. Fuck it. You know what else? There are people on Twitch. There's another little league that I did some work with. It was the Geico Cup League or whatever. They race on Forza 7. It's like late model cars.
Yeah, but I only have PlayStation.
Yeah, I only have Xbox.
And Forza is only on Xbox.
Well, it's a PC. It's a PC game.
I thought Forza was an Xbox game.
It is, but it's also on PC.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Yeah, so Forza wasn't PlayStation. That was the only thing.
Yeah, no. I don't know. I need to get a PlayStation. It seems like everybody I know has them.
I'm a big big PlayStation guy. I've always been a big PlayStation guy. The only reason I ever had an Xbox was for Halo.
Yeah, I just liked the Xbox. I liked the way it looked. Man, I like Spyro when I've had my PlayStation.
Mm.
I just played Spyro forever.
No, okay, the only thing, though, with NASCAR Heat is the only reason I really like iRacing and really care about it. I mean, obviously, I get that it's, like, more difficult, so I get that, whatever. But the customization, how you can just completely create a paint scheme.
And 704 Games could find a way to do that.
Oh, they easily could, but they're pieces of shit, dude. 704 Games is the worst fucking video game company I think I've ever seen in my life.
We need 2K NASCAR. That's what we need.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
something.
It.
Really anything else. Yeah, just somebody that would take customization seriously. I want to be able to create and customize my driver to look like Joe Exotic. I want to be able to put a rattlesnake on the side of my fucking car and put
Amen.
Number 69. Nice.
Amen.
And I want to customize a track. I want to build my own fucking track.
Dude, that would be epic. I want to race NASCAR on Formula One tracks.
Fuck it. Any track. Any track. Dude, cup cars on dirt track. I mean,
oh my God.
Why not?
That would be insane. But it's like, yeah, you paid the money for the game. Why can't you? Why is there limitations to this shit? If I'm going to pay that much money on iRacing, I better be able to take a sprint car at Talladega if I want to. So that's the way I look at it.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to take an Indy car on a dirt track.
Dude, that would be incredible.
quarter mile dirt track Indy car.
Could you imagine like a grid of 30 drivers at like Bristol, like a short track on dirt, bro? I would lose my mind.
How long would that race last?
I mean, nobody would finish it.
They'd be going so slow, like trying to take the turns and stuff.
It'd be that would be it.
The Indy cars. A quarter-mile dirt track, oval, with off-road tires.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you have to have Mickey Thompson's.
That's right, yeah, so you can take those turns. Why not, though? Fuck it, dude. I should be able to customize whatever I want.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, we. You know what? If iRacing, like, doesn't email me back tomorrow, I'm going to send them this huge-ass thread and troll the fuck out of them.
Like, the podcast.
Like, check this out. I was having this conversation, and, like, I'm literally just going to, like, thread shit down and use different colors to, like, do bullet points. and I will send that to them every day until I get a response. And if it's automated, I'll keep sending it.
All right. I think that's a good stopping point.
That's it.
I think that was good.
You did it from your closet, and I did it where I normally do podcasts. By the clock.
All right, man. Well, Chase, I got to come back on your show soon. Thank you for coming on mine. I know it's always the last second. I just hit you up. I'm like, yeah, come on my show.
Yeah, that's how we roll right now, man. That's I enjoy the shit out of it. Always a pleasure to be on here, Rattlesnake. I appreciate you.
All right, man. See you later.
All right, bro. Be good.
Peace.